This is Jordan Seculo. He got what he wanted. Mike Bloomberg will be on the debate stage tomorrow night. Is he ready for prime time to go head-to-head with the other Democrat candidates running for the presidential nomination?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Michael Bloomberg qualifying for the next Democratic debate as a new poll shows him gaining ground in a contentious race for the White House.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Now, Mr. Bloomberg, like anybody else, has a right to run for president. He does not have a right to buy the presidency.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, so this is it. Mike Bloomberg, a new poll comes out, as we predicted, showing him actually in second place nationally. And that was enough to get Mike Bloomberg into the next debate, which is tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern time. I think this is huge for the 2020 election. It's huge because Mike Bloomberg either shows that he is a real player, not just with money, but with substance, that he can take punches, that he can deliver punches. Because let me tell you something. Target, you can already hear from Bernie Sanders. You're going to see it from the others as well, who are trying to run in his more moderate lane, if you want to call it that. We call it the progressive lane versus the socialist lane. But Than, this is the moment for Bernie, for Mike Bloomberg to show he's for real, that he's not just a rich guy who's been successful in business that can run ads and do these very put-together events, but that he can get on the debate stage and throw the punches. And in the past, when you see his videos, he has not been so compelling. But this is a different stage. It's a different, you know, it's a different Mike Bloomberg. He's running for president.
Yeah, it's going to be must-see TV, Jordan. It truly is his opportunity to become the alternative to Senator Sanders. Look, it's my view, Jordan, that his Super Tuesday strategy worked a little too well for him because I don't think he wanted to be on this stage. Of course, he's going to say that he wants to be on the stage. But look, the poll that you referenced, Jordan, it has him already within 1 point among African-American voters nationally. That is crushing for the former vice president. He did that without appearing on a debate stage. I think he would have liked to have gotten to Super Tuesday without having to actually debate. But look, you look at the competing responses from Senator Klobuchar, who says it's just about time that he has to stand up and compare his record. And then Jordan, Senator Sanders' reaction, which was complaining that, again, the rules have been changed to work against him. Look, I'll tell you this. I think Senator Sanders has a point here, Jordan. How many times have we seen the DNC change the rules to try to keep him from being the nominee? This feels like another one of those. But yet at the same time, even though Senator Sanders is going to say that, Jordan, I don't think anything would play into his hands more than to be able to get up on the stage next to Mayor Bloomberg and say, yet again, our party has changed the rules to favor the billionaires. It is going to be interesting to watch. And Jordan, I'm just not so sure that Mayor Bloomberg can stand up to that pressure, but we're about to find out.
There is some interesting news, too, about what Mike Bloomberg has been doing since his time as mayor. In fact, he's been funding inside mostly Democrat state AG offices. It's a report out of Fox News. A program he started to pay the salaries of attorneys who are farmed out to liberal state attorney generals. You know how Bernie Sanders has called him like an American oligarch? So he's been funding state attorneys, you know, attorneys in state attorney general's offices. And right now they're in 10 Democratic AG offices. The NYU Law School kind of starts the program with Bloomberg's nonprofit. They hire mid-career attorneys, so not right out of law school. And they are pursuing, quote, progressive policies. Listen to this quote. This is from Maryland's attorney general, a Democrat. Maryland Attorney General Brian Frosch, who was one of the most involved AGs during the program's early stages and was communicating regularly with the State Impact Center officials, explicitly said he was using his State Impact Center attorneys to, quote, who he called Bloomberg Fellows, to, quote, battle the Trump administration. Is he a modern-day oligarch putting officials inside the government with his money to battle Trump administration policies, not from the outside, but from the inside of state governments? Is this something he's going to have to answer to tonight? His comments on farmers, his comments on minorities, all of that. Tomorrow night, he will be on the debate stage. We want to take your comments. 1-800-684-3110 is the Nevada caucus, and the Democrat nomination heats up.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Let me encourage you folks, everybody listening on radio, but those of you watching on Facebook and Periscope, click that share button right now. I don't often do that while we're live on the air, and I do that usually during the breaks, but I encourage you to click the share button right now. Share this with your friends and family on Facebook and Periscope, because this is big news for the 2020 race. Because now that Mike Bloomberg is going to be on that debate stage tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern time, NBC, MSNBC, in the debate, he is going to take incoming, but he's also going to have his first chance to be among the other candidates, not just doing his own solo events, not just spending a lot of money on advertising. In a sense, it kind of normalizes him, if you could say that about the Democrat field or people running for president, but it puts him back down onto their pedestal, which is one of, I guess now, what will be six or seven people who will be on that debate stage that will have to make their case to the American people and to Democrats, six people, but also take the incoming from those with questions from the moderators and the questions from his the other candidates. Now, there's a lot of questions that have come in on Facebook and Periscope already about, is it lawful for Bloomberg to fund the state AG offices? Charles on Facebook wrote that. And we're taking your phone calls too. Do you think Bloomberg is going to be ready for prime time tomorrow night, 1-800-684-3110. Because to me, he's been asking to get on the debate stage. He's been spending all this money. If he crashes and burns, that could be it for him. It could be tough for him to come back. Now, if he has a great debate, if he shows everybody he's somehow transformed his debating skills and abilities, listen, this could fundamentally change the race for who could be the Democrat nominee. And really give someone like Bernie Sanders a run for their money, who right now looks like they're in pretty good position. But all Bloomberg needs is a few more percentage points here and there, and suddenly, you know, this race is very different than it was 2-3 months ago, or even 2-3 weeks ago. So it's a kind of crash and burn or rise and shine event for Mike Bloomberg. I'm sure he knows the pressure that's there. And again, I think it's important to point out too, I think he is 78 years old. In 70s. I mean, so again, this is pretty tough stuff for people. And again, not saying that they don't have the energy, not the momentum, but again, just to be able to compete. Yeah, 78 years old at this level, and we've seen Joe Biden kind of run into some of those issues with kind of getting lost up in words and debates and the incoming that comes so quickly. But let me get into this issue with what he's been up to other than making insensitive and racial comments and demeaning farmers. You know, remember yesterday we played, you just dig a hole in the ground. I can teach anyone to be a farmer. You dig a hole, you put a seed, you pour some water. That's how you grow a flower in your yard. I mean, that's like how you show your kid how to grow something once. That is not exactly how you create a business through farming. But again, we got into that yesterday. And I have a feeling he's going to have to answer to that. I would hope he does. If he doesn't, it's absurd. If he doesn't have to answer to throwing kids up against the wall because they happen to be black, it's absurd. If he doesn't have to answer for, I only put police in minority areas, which anybody who knows where crime is, it's most more socioeconomic based. He didn't need to say it that way, even if that was kind of the percentage-wise of where they needed to be at certain times. You don't need to say it that way. You just say socioeconomic areas that where crime is the highest at that point. And you, of course, continue to change where you put your police forces depending on where crime, where you've been successful in fighting crime. But to say that crime is only, you know, a black issue is just it's racist. And it's also something he's having to pull back on. Let me just go through what Bloomberg, they're calling him his mercenaries, how he's funded this network of climate attorneys inside state AG offices. Because we're getting questions about how is this legal? So here's how it works. He funds a program. And what he does is he funds a program through NYU. So NYU Law School's State Energy and Environmental Impact Center, which started in 2017 with $5.6 million from Bloomberg's nonprofit. They, the NYU Law School, hires mid-career attorneys. So not people right out of law school. Mid-career attorneys, people with experience, and then provides them to state AGs. So technically, they are working as fellows. So they're working, they're getting paid by the NYU program, but they are working for the state entity. And as the Maryland governor said directly, he was using his state, this is Maryland Attorney General Brian Frosch, he was using his state impact center attorneys, whom he referred to as, quote, Bloomberg fellows, to, quote, battle the Trump administration. Now, Bernie Sanders has used the term American oligarch to define Mike Bloomberg. This kind of goes to that. See, using your nonprofit to then fund state entities and state programs. So you're not just, listen, your nonprofit can fight the policies of the Trump administration all at once. But it's a very unique way to go through NYU to place these attorneys in key positions so that they can fight the Trump administration with the official guise of the state, which is what they were doing in these 10 democratically controlled attorney general's offices across the country. And it turns out that this goes on. A Maryland attorney general said, it turns out that our first Bloomberg fellow, Joshua Siegel, was a student at Harvard, and they're looking to fill the position. Do you know anyone 5 to 10 years out of school who would be interested in saving the planet from the predations of the Trump administration, like the Trump EPA chief and the Trump Interior Secretary? That's how they're putting out information. So that's in public correspondence about it. Fighting. We're going to use the guise of a state entity by taking these fellows from NYU, funded by Bloomberg, to fight the Trump administration directly. So that's just one report out today about what Mike Bloomberg has been up to. 1-800-684-3110. Republican Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill said, what's problematic is the arrangement through which a private organization or individual can promote an overtly political agenda by paying the salaries of government employees. I mean, it's very unique the way that they set this up. Again, it's I'm not saying it's illegal what he's done, but it is certainly, again, what it shows to me is the way he has tried to influence is similar to those, I don't want to start conspiracy theories, but the Soros-type organizations that are very broad, have very long tentacles into many different organizations, some you'd be surprised about, that do the same thing. They put all these, what they call fellows, inside entities. Now, usually they're not inside state. They're not part of the official government. They don't have the guise of being, you know, the Attorney General's Office of the State of Maryland, you know, that kind of issue. And of course, They couldn't force these people upon anyone. You had to accept them. But if you were a Democrat AG, of course you were accepting them. And that's exactly what was going on. So, again, a problematic situation, to say the least. The West Virginia Attorney General said there's a fundamental question of ethics and who's running our government. When you actually get to place someone in under a specific agenda and then pay them and they're within the office, that starts to call into question whether there are multiple masters within an attorney general office, and that starts to really stink. And then that, to me, is kind of the definition of what Bernie Sanders is describing as this kind of modern-day American oligarch with Mike Bloomberg. It's not that he's just wealthy, but that he's tried to use that wealth to actually take charge of government entities and state entities.
Yeah, a couple of things, Jordan. I mean, one, this strikes me as a perfect example of something that we've talked about an awful lot on this broadcast, where the left loses at the federal level. They lose elections, and so they know they can't accomplish policy through their bureaucracy here like they're used to, and they push their agenda down to the state level, and it's funded by the likes of Soros and others. Maybe in this case, it looks like Michael Bloomberg. But I look forward to tomorrow night, Jordan, because doesn't this play directly into Senator Sanders' talking points that, regardless of what side of the aisle is, he doesn't want billionaires, in his words, funding the government and making decisions. He is going to accuse Jordan, even if the moderators don't, he is going to accuse Mayor Bloomberg of this, and Mayor Bloomberg will have to answer. And just strategically, I'd be interested in your thoughts on this. I think this is a very high-risk moment for Mayor Bloomberg for this reason. He now has to appear on stage and debate, and then, Jordan, he's almost certainly going to do very poorly in Nevada and South Carolina because he's not competing there. He's not on the ballot in Nevada, which means it's going to be very hard for him to do very well in a caucus-style format where he's not even on the ballot. So he's going to be one of the candidates, Jordan, and yet he's going to have to make it through two more states of doing poorly before he has a chance to do well. To me, that's a pretty risky moment for him.
Yeah, very risky. Folks, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We'll get those up, 1-800-684-3110. We've got an update, too, on ACLJ work with pulling back these Obama-era regulations that said basically, hey, you're a Christian organization, you get any kind of these federal funds, you've got to tell people, hey, there's somewhere else you can go that's not religiously affiliated. The Trump administration is doing something about that in 9 different federal agencies. 8 of those rules are ready to go. The comments are being filed today, and Than Bennett will walk us through that as well, the ACLJ's work on that matter. Pretty outrageous what the Obama administration was doing. And it's great to see the Trump administration correcting that with our comments as well to these rules. We'll be right back taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
thoughts of this too, because it's this idea that, you know, on the one hand, you can respect, I guess, that Mike Bloomberg is saying, I will use all of my own resources to run for president. I'm very wealthy. At the same time, who are you accountable to when you don't have a donor base, when you haven't had to go out there and raise the funds, when you haven't had to go out and make the hard ass to say, you know, we need to raise money to get up on TV, to put a Super Bowl ad up, to get staff in these states, to provide, I guess he's providing apartments and stuff like that to people who work for him. Pretty good perks if you join the Bloomberg campaign right now. But it's one thing to say, like, I'm not going to take corporate donations or PAC donations. It's another to say, I don't even want small dollar donations. Like, I don't want any buy-in from any of you American people. You can vote for me, you could show up, but then, you know, and yes, you're accountable to the voters still, but it is a different way of running a campaign. I mean, ultimately, President Trump, who used some of his own funding to kind of get off the ground, which is not unusual. Candidates take out loans and things like that all the time at various levels of campaigns, but ultimately has created a very large fundraising machine. In fact, then the RNC and Trump campaign has been setting records compared to the DNC in their fundraising over these last couple of years and heading into 2020. So it's not like he is in this situation where he's saying, no, I don't want to be accountable to donors. He goes to those fundraising events. Mike Pence goes, other members of the campaign and the administration go in their capacities politically to fundraise, because there is accountability there as well. It's like accountability to voters and accountability to the donors, whether it's the $25, $30 donor who's buying your Keep America Great Again hat after they bought their MAGA hat last election cycle, or the $2,000 donor who's going in the photo line.
I think it's a great comparison, Jordan, because really it's the accountability piece of this that does need some sunshine. I mean, I don't think any of us are saying that Mayor Bloomberg or anybody else shouldn't be engaged on the state level. In fact, we work very hard to engage people on the state level. You should do that. But the question would be, Jordan, if there are state funds being used through these attorney general's office to pay for these efforts, then that is something that the citizenry should know. I mean, we do these cases on the federal level through FOIA. We've done them on the state level as well. It might be a situation where this is something we could engage. But again, just to pull it all back together, it's not the advocacy that's the problem here. It's the accountability. If a taxpayer in the state of Maryland, where I live, and this appears to be an issue in Maryland, is funding these efforts, Jordan, well, then I have the right to know that. So it's connecting the dollars to the advocacy that's the real point here.
All right. I want to turn to something the ACLJ were filing today, Than, our final comments on the proposed rule change to these nine different agencies ultimately. Eight, their rules go up today. A HUD will be a little bit later, probably in April. And then the next couple months, if the new proposed rules are accepted after the comment period, there's going to be a fundamental change from what the Obama administration tried to do. Walk people through what the Obama administration, basically, and there's an email about this out today. You got this in your inbox yesterday, actually. And it's that Christian businesses and organizations that were receiving federal funding. So they got federal funding as faith-based entities, but they had to tell people who used their services that they could go somewhere else that wasn't religiously affiliated. Similar to our pro-life pregnancy center cases where we're trying to make them in California, New York, tell them, hey, here's where you can go have an abortion. These organizations were being forced to say, here's where you can go where you're not, where there's no religious affiliation, and basically trying to advertise away their services. And again, this is happening at, I just want to go through the breadth, because when we talk about, I guess, nine agencies in total, HUD will be last, but eight currently up right now. I mean, that's a lot of different federal agencies and a lot of different kinds of businesses and faith-based organizations.
Yeah, it all comes back to an order that President Trump gave Jordan that directed every agency to do a review of their programs where services were maybe provided by a religious entity. The nine entities that put out rules, the nine agencies, Jordan, are the Department of Justice, HHS, which is Health and Human Services, the Department of Education, the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Labor, the Department of Homeland Security, Housing and Urban Development, which that deadline, as you said, is a couple of months away yet, USAID, and Veterans Affairs. So, Jordan, you're talking about an incredibly wide array of services that are being provided through grant programs through these agencies. Think everything from a soup kitchen to maybe a healthcare clinic that's giving family services, maybe one through the VA that's providing care for veterans, maybe even one, Jordan, we talked about agriculture yesterday, maybe a grant program that teaches people how to do sustainable agriculture. And these religious entities, Jordan, have qualified for the grants under the criteria allowed. But the Obama administration was saying, when a person comes to you and wants to get this service from you, if you have a religious component inside your organization, even though you qualified, you have to tell that person where they can go somewhere else to get that service that is not religiously affiliated. Jordan, that is not allowed under the law, under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. This administration has identified it, and across all of those nine agencies, they are correcting it. So you're right. Our comments go in to eight of them today, about 2 o'clock p.m. today. We're going to be filing those, and then to HUD in a couple of months. And just quickly, Jordan, about 75,000 people have signed our petition, standing with us on our legal comments. And also, just one other thing, we're providing an opportunity for individuals to also file their own comment when it comes to the HHS comment, because a lot of times that will involve rights of conscience. And Jordan, in just a couple of hours, already 3,000 people have signed their own individual comments. Wow. They can still do it today for a couple of hours yet.
Yeah, wow, 3,000 individuals doing that on their own, 75,000 in total joining our comments. A big thank you to everyone who's taking this so seriously. And again, it's that rollback of bad religious discriminatory policies put in place by the Obama administration to say, okay, we have to allow you to apply for these grants, and you may even be eligible for them. But here's the kicker. If you get them, everybody who walks through your doors, you've got to tell, hey, you can go get this service down the street somewhere else, and it won't be through a religiously affiliated organization. Understand that. Discriminating against faith-based organizations. Folks, when we get back, second half hour, we're going to get back into politics. The Democrat debate tomorrow night seems to be probably the most interesting one in a long time, certainly since the first debates when they were having like 2 days of debates, because the field is narrowed down to six, and Mike Bloomberg made it, and he is rising to number two in a lot of the new polls. And we're going to go through some interesting demographic numbers, too, in some of these national polls about where Bernie Sanders is doing surprisingly well with suburban voters, for instance. I guess they're embracing socialism to some extent. I mean, these are national polls with suburban voters and Bernie Sanders leading amongst these Democrats with suburban voters, with Catholic voters, with African-Americans. He's just trailing now Joe Biden by 1%. So we're going to get into these demographics and what it means to tax the extreme wealth. It comes right from, if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, the Bernie Sanders website, his plan to tax extreme wealth, and it's even signed by Bernie. So we'll go through that with our law and policy senior analyst, Harry Hutchinson, on that as well. But you know, we just went through a little bit about the serious amount of work we're doing at the ACLJ to fix these federal programs. We're a little bit behind this month in online fundraising. We had a great January, and I appreciate all of you for that. But if you could donate today, that would be great at aclj.org. You donate today, aclj.org, and we'll get right back on track for the month very quickly if you can make that donation, aclj.org. We'll be right back. Second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live. Getting back into politics.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So this is interesting, a report out just now that the Biden campaign, which has just seemed like it's been on life support since even before the Iowa caucus, but certainly with these last place finish after last place finish and kind of running out of money, that they're kind of keying in on coming in second place in the Nevada caucus tomorrow. Now, Bloomberg will not be a choice for people on the caucus. So he will not, maybe there's some kind of write-in ability. I'm not really sure. That doesn't usually turn out to huge numbers anyways. But even if Biden does pull off a second place, and by the way, that's a big if, because you got within Joe Biden's numbers, if he's at 16 at his highest number. Warren is at 14.5, and she's on life support too. I mean, she could easily beat him there. Mayor Pete, who's been on a little bit of a rise, at 12.5, so again, within the margin. Even Tom Steyer within the margin, and Amy Klobuchar, who's shown she can do well quickly in building support. So, I mean, Joe Biden, it's no guarantee of this second place. And by the way, what would a second place finish look like for Joe Biden if these polls held? It would show that Joe Biden still trailed Bernie Sanders by 14 points in the caucus, because Bernie Sanders right now is at 30%. And now the Nevada caucus polls are very difficult to rely on, because, and I'm a little bit, folks, I don't want to start ringing alarm bells yet. They have until Saturday to, but there is early voting already occurring. Remember, the caucus is on Saturday. The debate is tomorrow night. They're already reporting issues with how this is tracking in these two tiers, and you vote your first choice, your second choice, and how does that work when you've already got early voters going in? I mean, I know where we are. We could start voting early as well, but it's a primary state, so you just cast your vote for the primary, for whether it's for president or for other offices people are running for statewide, federal and state level. And that's it. And so if it's easy to get the early votes then tabulated with the actual day. It's in a Super Tuesday state, so on March 3rd, the final day of voting in the primary where we are. So again, these caucuses get extremely complicated, but even that second place finish for Biden, if the numbers were to hold, it would show him far behind Bernie Sanders in Nevada. And then you move to where it's really Joe Biden is a must-win state in South Carolina the next weekend. And then I think his campaign will have to do its real choice. I mean, it's like, even if he does come in second place, but he's 15, 14 points behind, I don't think that's a huge win for Joe Biden. That's a comeback kid moment. And it's no guarantee, by the way, that he's going to be in that second place. If he gets to South Carolina and doesn't come in first, what does his campaign do? I think it may have to fold. I mean, I'm not going to speak for them. I don't know exactly the kind of resources they have available to them. But this is the make or break kind of time coming up for Joe Biden as well. It's also a make or break time for Mayor Bloomberg, because now Mike Bloomberg has got to be on the debate stage. So it won't just be about ads and very carefully choreographed events. It will be about having to throw punches with fellow candidates, take incoming questions from and tough questions from moderators, if they choose to be tough, or is the DNC just rigging this because they don't want Bernie Sanders to be the nominee? We'll get a lot of sense from that, because remember, MSNBC, as liberal as it is, has not been so pro-Bernie Sanders, because they see him as a problem for winning the actual general election and beating Donald Trump. So are they going to go light on Mike Bloomberg, even though there is so much there that the usual MSNBC moderator would go after, whether it's stop and frisk, throwing black kids up against the wall, only putting police in minority areas? I mean, the farmers, all you got to do is, all you have to do as a farmer is, and there's, again, the blue collar kind of base of their support, is dig a hole in the ground, plant a seed. We're going to talk about that, but we're also going to talk about Bernie Sanders as well. We don't want to not give any attention to old Bernie, the crazy communist, because he's got his new plan, tax on extreme wealth. And I brought in Harry Hutchinson to go through this for you, because you may say, well, I'm not extremely wealthy, so is this really going to, affect me at all? We'll explain to you how crazy Bernie's plan actually is. We come back on Jay Sekulow Live.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. If you are not watching on Facebook and Periscope, and most of our radio audience is not, the millions of you out there who are listening to the broadcast, the new What's, I just posted, you know, we got back from the impeachment trial, so we're back on track with our What's Next videos posting each week, and we have a new one that just posted. We shared that with our Facebook and Periscope audience. It's on my Facebook page and my dad's Facebook page about Boko Haram and their rise of terror, Islamic terror against Christians in Nigeria, and how it's spreading, and what the what we're doing about it at the ACLJ and the European Center for Law and Justice. So check that out on our social media pages as well. It's already got almost maybe more now, almost 100,000 views on that new What's Next, talking about again this threat we don't want to forget from Islamic terrorism still affecting our Christian brothers and sisters all over the world, and spreading right now in Western Africa, even outside of Nigeria, Boko Haram, but both into Chad and Cameroon as well. But we're getting back to politics for now, because it's a big moment for the Democrat field, because you got the new guy who's going to be on stage, Mike Bloomberg. Certainly, we all feel like we've seen a lot of him because he's been running all these national ads. He's been spending all this money. He's been doing all these events across the country in Super Tuesday states that are very well choreographed. And again, there's not a lot of confrontation there. But now he's got to have the confrontation. He's got to be on the debate stage. And so he's got that. But we also have Bernie Sanders. And I want to take Roger's call, because I think it sets up the discussion I want to talk about with Harry on this new tax on extreme wealth, which is one of the issues Bernie literally has on his website. Tax on extreme wealth. I mean, talk about communism right there. Here, Roger called in from Minnesota on line one. Roger, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I got to say I'm 100% pro-Trump, so I don't want Bernie, you know, elected, you know.
Sure.
But I'm just curious as to why doesn't the DNC want Bernie? They bounced him around in 16, yep, and Hillary's been bad-mouthing him this time. Is he too much of a rebel? Does the DNC have a script that the candidate has to follow, or what's the deal?
Well, I think one of the issues is he's not a Democrat, Roger. And now, the Democrat Party has moved much more progressive. We've said there's really only a difference between the progressives on the stage and kind of the communist socialist wing that Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren kind of dances with, but Bernie Sanders has fully embraced. So the Democrat Party is certainly progressive, but remember, he only registers to be a Democrat so that he can run in these primaries as a Democrat. So I think there's that first problem right away, Harriet, is that he's not a team player when it comes to the Democrat Party. So they did certainly wrong him in 2016. And some of those rules were already put in force, but we also know that there were questions going to Hillary Clinton that pre-debate that weren't going to Bernie Sanders. But the second time around, they're going to have to go to great lengths, it looks like. Unless there's some Mike Bloomberg surge, which would be kind of hard to believe, go to great lengths to keep him out.
I think that's true. I also think that the problem that the Democratic Party has with Bernie Sanders is that Bernie Sanders' schemes are too obvious to the American people. They recognize, for instance, that Medicare for All would essentially destroy Medicare for All. And so Bernie Sanders, unlike many of the other progressives in the race, does not hide his objectives, however offensive they may be. Recall Bernie Sanders in answering a question at a debate suggested that terrorists who are convicted, who are serving time in jail, get the right to vote. He would restore their voting rights. So part of the problem with Bernie Sanders from the perspective of the elites in the Democratic Party is that he is insufficiently smooth. That he doesn't hide the ball. And I think the Democratic Party is far more comfortable with oligarchs like Bloomberg,
yeah.
who tend to use different language, who are not necessarily as offensive to suburban women, although Bloomberg is equally offensive to African and Latino males and to gun rights supporters. So I think Sanders has drawn the ire of the Democrat establishment, and they believe that if he actually tells the truth about what he believes, he is unelectable.
I want to get into this Bernie tax on extreme wealth, because I think it goes to the heart of what you just said, Harry, which is that this unelectability. And I will tell you this, as someone who has worked on a number of campaigns, presidential level, state level, federal and state, so if there's not momentum for a candidate, you lose. You 100% lose. You cannot win elections based off, well, the policies are going to be better or they're more mainstream. If people don't like the candidate, if they're not willing to go stand out in cold, bad weather for them, hot or cold, and show up at rallies and go door to door and do the work, you can't win. It just, you cannot turn out enough votes. Now, I think, you know, Donald Trump's on one extreme of that. He's got an unbelievable amount of enthusiasm out there. He's got a big base of supporters. Now, you've got to turn that base of 35%-ish to get over the finish line to get to 50%. And you do that by utilizing that base. If you don't, if you push out the guy who's got the momentum because you think his policies make him unelectable, you even end up doing worse by trying to put in someone who you think is electable, but no one really likes. I mean, it's just, we've seen this time and time again. Think about Republicans doing this time and time again. They have. And so it's happened on both sides of the aisle. And then you said what's interesting is that the party changed the rules for Mike Bloomberg, even though he decided not to compete in these first four states, the early four states, but they never changed the rules for Bernie, even though neither one of them are really Democrats.
Yeah, I mean, it just illustrates the point that you're making, just how opposed, I think Roger was making this point too, Jordan, how opposed the party seems to be to Bernie Sanders. They are changing the rules in favor of a guy who is bucking their system and ignoring the first four states that they scheduled. So someone who's trying to circumvent their system altogether, they're changing the rules to benefit him now. And Jordan, I think people really do also need to listen to the analysis you just gave about enthusiasm, because in this election, Jordan, is going to be won in across the Rust Belt and in places like Florida. Can you imagine Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Florida, states where Donald Trump's enthusiasm is very, very high? The Democrat Party choosing to push out someone who could generate some enthusiasm, Bernie Sanders, in favor of someone who His own former staff, Jordan, Mayor Bloomberg's own former staff, says that his biggest problem is when he gets in front of people, he can have the personality that is like milquetoast. Jordan, that is not going to work against a candidate like Donald Trump. Now, look, I'm not sure Senator Sanders' policies are going to work either in places like that, but I do think that you're correct that you'd be better off going with enthusiasm to try to counter the president's enthusiasm. Jordan? The party's not doing that right now.
I want to save this extreme wealth for the next segment of the broadcast. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. The big question I have for you all, and we'll get into this Bernie Sanders plan, but is, do you think Mike Bloomberg is ready for prime time to hit the stage tomorrow night? I mean, you don't have to be a Democrat voter, but think about it. If you're a Republican voter too, this is the guy who is probably making the most serious challenge right now to Bernie Sanders. And it could crash and burn tomorrow night. So this has a potentially big, huge effect on the general election. What are your thoughts on it? 1-800-684-3110. What are your thoughts on Mike Bloomberg? You've got to have some. He's been out there, certainly wherever you are across the country, especially if you're in these Super Tuesday states with ads and with events. And now he's going to be on the debate stage. Do you think he's ready for it? Do you think he's been able to survive the criticism? Remember, we're not seeing his fundraising numbers because he's self-funding, so that's not really something we could judge it by. We're going to have to judge a lot of it by how he performs tomorrow night and how Democrats see his performance. But I want to ask you this, and we want to take your calls in the final segment of the broadcast. Do you think he is ready, and do you think Democrats really want him to be ready for prime time? Because I think that's another big point, too. Are Democrats really going to be fooled into supporting this guy who's basically trying to buy the nomination without doing the hard work of retail politics? 1-800-684-3110. I'm sure there's a wing in the Democrat Party that would say, we'll do anything not to have Bernie Sanders. But is Mike Bloomberg really what they're willing to do? Really, who they're willing to put forward? 1-800-684-3110. And that's all, assuming he can even make it through a debate without making himself look pretty bad or kind of crash and burn, if you will, because he is so untested at this level. He will no longer be untested after 9 p.m. tomorrow night Eastern time. So 1-800-684-3110. Get your questions in now so we can take them during the final segment of the broadcast, and we'll get into this tax on extreme wealth. Now Bernie Sanders wants to cripple the American economy. One policy position at a time. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. What do you think the state of the race is right now for the general election? 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live. Check out all the work we're doing at ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
So Mayor Bloomberg will be on stage. Mike Bloomberg will be on stage, debate stage tomorrow night. Heather on Facebook says, I have no idea if Bloomberg is ready. The debate will tell us. Becky on Facebook says he's not ready for the debate. He will be on the defensive explaining all these comments, controversial comments he's made in the past. Let's go to, before I start taking phone calls, I wanted Harry to go through this new issue page. And just so people watch on Facebook and Periscope, we're not like digging around for this. This is Bernie's signature. You know, it's imposed on this. Key points on issues, tax on extreme wealth. Now, Harry, what he's trying to use with words like that is to try to show that to 99.9% of Americans, this isn't applying to you, so don't worry about it. But you should like what I'm going to do because it's going to go after those really, really rich people that you'll never be like. But explain to people what it really does.
Well, I think you raise a very, very good question. So I think we should first note that as Bernie Sanders leaves the shelter provided by his three homes to rail against extreme wealth and capitalism, and as he capitulates to Eugene Debs' great claim, suggesting that he is a socialist and a revolutionary, he has now proposed a tax on extreme wealth. Conveniently, since Bernie Sanders is a millionaire, if not a multimillionaire himself, this extreme wealth tax commences at around $32 million. But what Bernie Sanders, $32 million in wealth, what Bernie Sanders fails to understand is much of that wealth is tied to capitalistic production. So if I own a manufacturing plant, I own it, let's say, free and clear, I employ 2,000 workers, yeah. According to Bernie Sanders, I could be, based on accounting paperwork, extremely wealthy.
Right.
And then Bernie parachutes in or sends his bureaucrats in to tax me. Well, guess what? That means that I would experience a lower return on my investment. And one of the ways of raising my return on my investment in light of this new tax is to reduce the employment, meaning that workers would actually lose their jobs. So effectively, we should note that the tax on extreme wealth, properly understood, is simply a tax on jobs, and it is a tax on job creators. That's number one. Number two, Bernie Sanders fails to understand that people who are extremely wealthy can indeed afford to hire very bright tax lawyers and very bright tax accountants. And one of the best ways to avoid the extreme wealth tax, which Bernie doesn't seem to understand, is simply to leave the country and to take your wealth with you. And we've had a case history which shows this possibility. France, several years ago, imposed a huge tax, up to 90%, I believe, on rich people. Guess what? They left France in droves. And so one of the things that Bernie Sanders doesn't seem to understand is that he assumes that when he imposes a tax, people who are wealthy will simply stand by, raise their hands, and say, take my money, please. So this represents nonsense on stilts. And I think that is the inherent problem with Bernie Sanders. He doesn't understand elementary economics.
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, don't be fooled by the, oh, we're just coming after the wealthy people, when it's likely in a lot of medium-sized to even small businesses, they're talking about the people who employ you. They're talking about the people who employ a lot of Americans. There's some reason why this number, I mean, you know, when you hear extreme wealth, And $32 million is a lot, but extreme wealth, I think more like $1 billion up, you know, or hundreds of millions of dollars. This $32 million number seems to me, Harry, about getting right at those job creators at the small to medium, I'd say probably more to the medium size businesses, but aren't yet businesses that you know, buy. They're still privately owned businesses.
Correct. And they're not multinationals.
Right.
And so most of the jobs are in the United States.
American jobs, yep.
And most job creation occurs at the medium size to small level. So in other words, it's really small businesses in America, small to medium sized businesses that are creating the jobs, not the huge multinational corporations, because many huge multinational corporations have already located their production facilities abroad.
And he feels that under this plan, targeting billionaires specifically, billionaires' wealth will be cut in half in 15 years, which would substantially break up the concentration of wealth and power of this small privileged class. Now, maybe he's taking shots at Mayor Bloomberg. Those people would still be extremely wealthy. Which is why I still think that you get this kind of support from the extreme wealth Hollywood crowd. Because, like, when you've reached billions or you've reached hundreds of millions, these kind of things are almost become meaningless. It's the $32 million a year employer who it really means something to.
I think that is correct. And also, it's important to keep in mind, and Bernie Sanders does have a provision in his proposal to deal with this. Many extremely wealthy people have already put their funds in a trust fund, and they have attempted to shelter it from U.S. tax law. And I'm not sure that Bernie Sanders could prevent them, for instance, from moving that trust to Singapore, to Great Britain, which do not have territorial tax systems. And so if you give up your U.S. citizenship, for instance, as an individual, and you move to Great Britain, you could live in the Bahamas and avoid most American taxes. Likewise, I think you probably could move your trust fund abroad and escape these taxes as well.
Trying to get these final two calls in. Gray in North Carolina on line three. Gray, quickly, you're on the air.
Yeah, real quick. Thank you for all you did at the Senate hearings.
Thank you.
The whole group. If Bloomberg even shows up, you know, I'd be really surprised. And if he's ever, you know, really putting it at task for something.
Yeah. Well, he is. Really, I mean, Gray, I will say he's going to be on the debate stage tomorrow night. So unless some emergency occurs, he will be on the debate stage tomorrow night. His campaign said that before the poll came out. So it's impossible to, how do you back away from that now? Let's go to Phil in New York quickly. Line one. Hey, Phil, you're on the air. Are you there, Phil? Well, it does not look like Phil is there. So, Gray got the final call of the day. Listen, there's a lot to analyze here. We're going to try to get it before the debate tomorrow. We'll try to get some more topics as well, non-political topics as well, because we'll be analyzing that for sure on Thursday, how that played out tomorrow night. Make sure, too, depending on what state you live in, that you're casting your vote. A lot of early voting is starting in these Super Tuesday states and starting this week. And so make sure you're casting your vote and getting out the vote. Know where to vote. No, make sure you're registered. If you've moved recently, make sure you're registered as well. And even if you're a Republican, you think, oh, there's nothing for me to vote for. There is, because there's state races, federal races, and of course, President Trump would need your vote too. Still has to technically get the nomination, so you got to turn out. We will talk to you next time. Check out ACLJ.org as well for all of our cases.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.